Over the years, organized crime has evolved, and to keep up with it, U.S. law enforcement agencies have pushed for newer and more expansive authorities to take on the challenge. But Nick Evans reports one of those tools is raising concerns in the Florida State House.
The year is 1931. Flapper dresses have given way to more conservative styles as the Great Depression marches on. But in big cities and small towns, men and women still slip into speakeasies to sip on highballs and sidecars. But it's not going to be a very good year for one of the men responsible for those spirits. Federal officials are going to put Chicago kingpin Al Capone away for 11 years on tax evasion charges. Fast forward to 1980. The U.S. is trudging out of recession, and fans of the show Dallas are still buzzing about who shot J.R. Men are wearing suits and facial hair they'll soon regret and will someday make their children giggle. And it's not going to be a very good year for Mafia boss Frank Funzitieri. His conviction on RICO, or racketeer-influenced and corrupt organizations charges, will have him spending the last months of his life in prison. These cases are both examples of law enforcement agencies finding creative ways to take on organized crime, grasping the loose strings in a criminal enterprise and tying them together into a successful court case. Another way cops attack those loose ends is a tool called civil asset forfeiture. Retired Los Angeles Deputy Police Chief Stephen Downing explains how it works.
The asset forfeiture statutes allow law enforcement officers to seize people's property if the law enforcement officer has mere probable cause to think that that property is the fruits of or used for a criminal activity.
The practice has actually been around since Capone's time, but after Prohibition, it went into hibernation for the most part. That is until the 1980s and the war on drugs. Forfeiture enjoyed a resurgence as law enforcement agencies looked for any tool available to take on drug trafficking. Here's Jacksonville Republican Senator Aaron Bean.
Really, ideally, it was designed to stop drug traffickers. If they're, you know, using a big fancy car to transport drugs, we could take that away. But it's morphed into something more where...
And that something more has a handful of Florida lawmakers concerned. Once law enforcement seizes property, the burden of proof shifts. It's on the owner to show the asset isn't connected to crime. And because it's a civil matter, St. Petersburg Republican Senator Jeff Brandis says that might be difficult.
Because under civil asset forfeiture law, it's a civil suit, you're not entitled to an attorney. And so often the cost of hiring an attorney and actually fighting the challenges will be greater than the cost of the asset that's seized. And if you do hire an attorney, often law enforcement will come to you and try to cut a deal by giving you half of the asset back.
Brandis championed reform last year, but ran into a brick wall of opposition. Remember, this is a really powerful tool for law enforcement agencies. As North Fort Myers Republican Representative Matt Caldwell explains, it allows them to take away the benefits of breaking the law.
Civil asset forfeiture is a lot of times focused on the benefits that the criminal reaps by creating these criminal conspiracies. They're living the high life, driving around fast cars.
But there's another reason law enforcement is so protective of the procedure, and it has to do with money. State and federal provisions allow the agency to keep a percentage of the seized asset's value.
Well, I think it's very important. As you know, if you don't get that funding through some of the other avenues, then that's got to come through either GR or tax dollars. So
that's Florida Department of Law Enforcement Chief Rick Swearingen speaking after a recent cabinet meeting. He emphasizes civil asset forfeiture is tightly controlled, but a recent Office of Program Policy Analysis and Government Accountability, or OPACA, study highlights the need for annual reporting. Current law doesn't require agencies to report on seized assets at all. So where does that leave us? Well, the year's not quite 2016, but heading into session, Senator Brandis is partnering with Representative Caldwell on a bill requiring a criminal charge before seizure and a criminal conviction before an agency takes final ownership of a seized asset. Their bill is likely to face stiff opposition. Meanwhile, Senator Bean is heading into session with a more moderate measure. It requires agency heads sign off on all seizures, and it institutes annual reporting in line with the OPACA study. Bean says he expects the support of Florida sheriffs and police chiefs. For WFSU News, I'm Nick Evans.